Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through. So have no fear. Oh, God can and God will. No matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win.
We win.
Mama prayed for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Hello again. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. It's good to be with you again on this Sunday. I'm thinking of Sunday, y'all. On this Saturday morning, praise the Lord. The first Saturday in August, my co-host was on the line, and she spoke a word. And we thank God for Missionary Terry Rogers, who often speaks for us, and certainly she will be back, so look out for her. We thank God for what he's doing over here on the south side of Chicago. And yes, I live on the south side of Chicago. Praise the Lord, and we thank God that this show reaches the masses. You know, the Lord has called us to teach and give the word of God, and certainly we thank God for being a yielded vessel. Let us pray before I get started. Father God, I thank you for your goodness. I bind Satan. I bind every satanic attack. I bind him in the name of Jesus. I put him under my feet where he belongs. I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I cover everyone else that will listen to this show with the blood of Jesus. And I pray, God, that somebody that don't know you will hear this word and say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Protect the families, God, that everyone that listens, protect my family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, why are you praying, Dr. Carey? Because the subject matter that I've been dealing with on this month is heavy, and we're going to get into that. But certainly, let's do our announcements. You still have time. Amazing Grace School of Ministry will be in its class session on the 21st. I've been holding off and holding off and waiting for those to register that will. But those of you that still have time, we're going to be talking about the DNA of emotional instability. And certainly, we need to understand and we need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth to stand in this day and time. If you don't think we're living in the last days, I want you to turn on the television and you will see that we're living in the last days. There was another school attack this week. And certainly Satan is roaring strong. But I want to let you know that he has been placed under our feet. We have the victory, and we have it not because Maria says so, but we have it because God says so. So we have been talking about, and certainly I want to take a sidebar. I'm ready to get into the lesson, as you may as you can hear. I want to thank every one of you that made it out on November the 10th, 2019, at 11:30. The Lord, I was a speaker at Word of Truth, Pentecostal Church, and certainly I thank God for Pastor Michael Hill giving me the opportunity to be and to be the speaker on that morning. Certainly, we thank God for everyone that showed up to support this ministry, and we thank God for you, and certainly I ask that you continue to pray for me. Now, let's get into this hot topic, shall we? Now, all this week, we have been waging war on Satan. Now, you know, in the past, I've talked about spiritual warfare. So we have been really getting down to the nitty-gritty. So the topic of this month is defending my territory, waging war on the devil. We have been accessing and we have been dealing with those issues that attack the physical realm that are spiritually motivated. Those elements that attack the physical world around us, murder, theft, killing, lying, that operate in a spiritual realm. So they're planned in the spiritual realm and they're executed in the physical. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So in essence, this scripture, and we're going to deal with a lot of scriptures today, but the I even want to say the focal point, but this scripture I want to read early because we need to understand and we need to do this. If you don't hear anything else, you need to operate in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9. It reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Okay? So let's get down to it, shall we? Hallelujah. Now, Satan uses various schemes, methods to keep people from coming to know and love God. He tries to prevent those who do not know and love God from living out our faith effectively. The devil attacks us directly, or he tries to tempt our sinful flesh to disobey God. And as believers, we become discouraged, we lose hope, and even forsake the faith because of the test that we're going through, because of the temptations, because of the trials. We have been delivered by Christ, who has provided us with a way of escape to live abundantly. Therefore, we must stay vigilant and know the strategies of Satan that he brings against us. He attacks us directly, or he fuels the fire with our sinful lusts. We must take dominion and authority over Satan's attacks that he sends against us and our loved ones. These demons may be forms of anger, depression, suicide, murder, lying, but we got to put them under our feet. We got to put them under the feet of Jesus, and we must live to serve the Lord. So let's look at the battlefield, okay? The battlefield, satanic attack. Now, when we look at satanic attack, sometimes in Ephesians 2 and 2, Satan is referred to as, or he operates from, a spiritual atmosphere or realm around us, including the dominions and have them that lie in heaven and earth. They have various names. So when we look at Ephesians, thank God for the callers that have accessed the line. So when we look at Ephesians 6 and 12, you have four main elements. You have four main demonic forces that operate. They are one, principalities, powers. They are the powers of darkness of this age, and four, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So the Bible tells us to be sober and vigilant to recognize the ways Satan tries to deceive or to destroy us. We must resist the enemy and remain steadfast in our faith. A lot of times we go through trials and tribulations, but they're only a test. And we doubt God, and once we begin to doubt God in our faith, that is a sin. So in essence, there are three things that I'm going to talk about today, three portions of satanic attack or strategies that he used to get the believers off. They are one, deceit, two, temptation, and three, accusations and condemnations. Now, we're going to deal with those three today. Next week, we got some more coming. Hallelujah, and we're going to hit them. So when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, it reads, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Now, Satan disguises himself. Well, first off, we're talking about deceit. Satan disguises himself. He comes to mislead people to believe things that are not true. For example, when we look at Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we know when we read in those scriptures, and please go back, write these scriptures down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Those individuals that are on the line, please, if you need them, or if you say, "Dr. Carey, I need you to give me the scriptures," I will give you the scriptures. Certainly everything that I do, everything I say, I back it up with the Word of God, because that's where we stand. So when we look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and I'm not going to read them, you begin to see that there was a conversation between Eve and the serpent. And we know what happened. Eve was deceived. She doubted God's word. So therefore, she ate of the forbidden apple, she gave it to Adam, he did bite, and sin occurred. So we have to have faith in God's word. We have to know what we're doing. When we doubt in our hearts, we lose spiritual power, we miss out on answered prayers, and we must understand that everything we do is based on faith. if it's not based on faith, is a sin. We must underline our faith and be led and know and trust the Lord. So once we begin to doubt, once we begin to say, God can't do this, I'm going through a situation and I don't know how I'm going to come out. But at the end of that statement should be, I know the Lord has made a way. It don't matter what it looked like, I know that I'm safe in the arms of the Lord. So when we look at Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 23, it reads, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has, what he has said, shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. The word of God says, I've got to believe. I can speak a thing, and if I stand on it, if I believe it, the Lord certainly is my Lord and my rock, and certainly he will show up as a showdown. I can look at my Bible in Romans 14 and 23. It says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whosoever is not, so whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I didn't say it. The word says. So the word of God is true. And Satan will try to adapt it. He will try to misrepresent it, to do portions of it, to take it out of context so that we won't believe the word of God. But once we stand on the word, once we believe that God's word is the truth, and the Bible says it endures forever, and Jesus is the word of God, and he brought grace and truth and light to us from the Father. God's word is not as the word of men, but it is truly the word of God that effectively works in us who believes. Only through faith can we please God. So let's get into some other scriptures. So when we look at the truth, we can stand on it, we can stand on the word, and we can counteract Satan's attempt to make us doubt God. Hallelujah. We're dealing with ourselves today. We're dealing with the fact that Satan brings lies to us. He brings stuff that will tempt us, and I'm going to get to that. And then he tries to condemn us. So the word of God, Psalms 119, verse 160 says, the word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure forever. Hallelujah. The word is going to stand. I may get out. We are going to get out of here. There's no doubt. The question is, after we leave this world, after we leave earth, after this body goes back to dust, where our soul and our minds going to be? Then we got John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word was God. I want to get them scriptures right, y'all. And you go all the way down that first chapter of John, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. 9 was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. 17, for the law was given by Moses, by grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then we can go on down to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 13. It reads, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we receive the word of God which ye have heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of man, but as it is true, as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. There you go, y'all, believe. And if I was to poll a testimony right now on this line and everyone that will hear this, if you look back over your life and you look at where you've come from and how you've been in Bible study and how you've read and how you've sought the Lord, and the more word that you get down on the inside, the more you've changed, the more you see things differently. And I'm going to get this last one again, y'all. If you need me to give you the scriptures I'm quoting, just send me a text at 309-750-7584 and say, "Dr. Carey, I need your word. I want to know where specifically this came from," and I would do that. So Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Hallelujah. Praise God. So Satan tries to deceive people through false prophets, deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, and binding people by time to the truth. So, in essence, he comes to sin, he misuses the word, he comes in false prophets to give and to say some stuff, and we do not judge it by the word of God. We say, "Ooh, I've got a word," and it ain't scriptural. "Ooh, I've said something," but I'm saying the word of God. Now, when we look in Matthew 7:15, it says, "Be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." 1 Timothy 4:1-2. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils." Now, I want to know, if you look out into the world, if you can see this scripture in operation. That's all I'm going to say. Speaking lies, hypocrisy, forgive me, Lord. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. Then we go down to 2 Timothy 2:25-26. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And I'm going to give you another scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them." We are the light, saints of God. We are to tell this dying world that Christ is able, that he's still in control, that he can deliver. People don't care anything about taking your life. They take it lightly because they don't understand that the spiritual realm and that body of theirs that they take in life, they've got to spend eternity. They think it's just a quick fix. I'm just going to end my life and I'm going to go to the other world. It's a spirit of murder. It's a spirit of hatred. It's a spirit that Satan is trying to glorify, but God is still in control. God said by his word that this is the word of God shall live on. And anything that's not his word, definitely we know is a lie. Hallelujah. So we are instructed to counteract the types of deception according to these scriptures. Now, in defense, these are the scriptures that counteract Satan's deception. John First John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, we are not to believe every person or teaching that claims to have the truth from God, but we are to test the spirits to see whether they come from him. And Matthew chapter 7, and these are a paraphrase versions, and go to the scriptures and read them. It talks about Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. It talks about the fact that we are the fruit of people's lives who claim to have the truth and see it if it corresponds to God's nature and way. So in essence, we are. People are looking at us. We are the fruit. We are the instruments that people see in order to know and represent who God is. We should be representing the characteristics of God. We should be on full display. We should be different from the world. I ain't talking about dress, saints. I'm not talking about an issue of whether or not you wear pants or a skirt. Not doing that. I'm talking about whether you're walking in love. I'm talking about whether or not you're walking in the precepts. I'm talking about whether or not you're obeying the rules or the regulations of society. Those are the things that I'm talking about, because the issue is we have a higher call to God versus this world. We are to stand, hallelujah, and represent who God is. So Paul states that when believers become unified in our faith and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and obtain the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, then we are not influenced by every whim and doctrine and cunningness and craftiness. So then we're able to stand. You know, Satan tries to bring stuff our way, tries to make us doubt God, tries to make us fall, tries to give us and send people that gather, and we believe what they say. But when we look at the Word of God and we're soundly rooted in the Word of God, we say, that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't the Word. That ain't the Word. Come on now. Come on, come on, come on. Let me move on through this, praise the Lord. When specific forms of Satan tries, he tries to use by taking the Word of God and twisting it and quoting it out of context. Second, Jesus recognizes that Satan wants to take God's Word out of context. So when we look at Matthew and when we look at the scriptures in Matthew verses 6 through 23, we see that Satan tries to attempt to deceive. And when we look at it, Matthew says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do man gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles?" And all the way down, I'm skipping. 19, every tree that bringeth not fruit, not forth good fruit, is hammed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by the fruits ye shall know them. 23. And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And then there's John 17:3. It says, and this is life eternal, that ye may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Again, we can discern false signs and wonders if we exhibit the fruits of God. If we know the nature and the character of God, if we allow the Word of God to manifest itself, if people truly know God, they will love him and obey his commands, exhibit his love and self-sacrificing nature. They will not try to dazzle or overwhelm people with their feats. God's signs and wonders always support the gospel of salvation through Christ Jesus. I want to thank those that have listened and those that are truly listening. God bless. And then we go into temptation. Now, when we look at temptation, when we look at satanic attack of temptation, that God cannot be tempted. Let's get that off the bat. See, we are working on getting ourselves right, examining ourselves, so that when Satan comes against us, we fortify ourselves to understand that we can stand and believe. Because Satan will attack. He will attack our desires. He will give us or bring up stuff that will touch our curiosity. It will hit us in our hearts. We'll say, ooh, that's his job. Now, when we look at temptation, this is the second one, and I got one more, and I'm going to finish up, and then I'm going to go on. And God cannot be tempted. Let's put that on the floor. God cannot be tempted by evil. And when we look at temptations, it's evil. It's an evil thing that is tempting us, and we either respond or we die or we don't. But because God is not evil, he cannot tempt us. So we find that in James. So when we look at James verses chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it reads, and I'm reading the New Living Translation on today. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So, four things that this scripture is talking about. One, God never tempts us. Two, temptation comes from our own desires. Three, ungodly desires conceives birth to sin. And that sin, number four, gives birth to death. All right? So when we look at scriptures like Proverbs 28 and verse 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise man, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. When we look at Romans 13 and 13, so these are scriptures that tell us and give examples of Satan's temptations or tempting of the believers. Ephesians 2 and 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, whereby the nature of children of wrath, even as others. And I want you to get 1 Peter, and I'm going to read them. 1 Peter 4 and 3 reads, for the time past of our lives may sacrifice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walk in, lasciviousness. I'm sorry, I'm going to spell it. Satan is a lie. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. I bind the devil right now in the name of Jesus. Lasciviousness. Thank you. Hallelujah. Lust. Excess of wine. Robberies. Banquetings. And abominable idolatries. So when we look at gluttony, robbery, which is another word, a word, and the NIV says orgies, drunkenness, lewdness, strife, envy, covetousness, fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I want you to underline that when you look at the lust of the flesh. I want to do what I want to do. This flesh will tell you it want to do what it want to do when it want to do it. Hallelujah. Desires of the flesh and the mind without Christ, violence, greed for money, and quarrelsomeness,
and idolatry. If we're not walking in that time, I don't know what up. We're walking in that time right now. We're walking in the time where this is actually taking place. This is the world. This is Satan in full spread, in his full glory, trying to take us, trying to manipulate us, trying to take us down, trying to take the believers down, trying to take even those down that are not believers. So when we look at the lust of the flesh, it goes further in 2 Timothy verses Chapter 2, verses 12 through 22, and I'm not going to read this. I want you to read that because it talks about the lust of the flesh. It talks about sin. It talks about being caught up in evil devices, forsaking the truth of God. It talks about covetousness and the lust of the flesh, being deceived by our own carnal desires. It talks about those corruption. And we are to stand blameless. We are to be spot or blameless. There shouldn't be nothing in us that will cause our brothers and sisters to fall. But we have to stand, and we have to be the standard that this world looks to in us. We have to stand for Christ. We have to look like him. We have to act like him. We have to be just like that lamb without blemish. And we can do that because Christ came and he died for us. And because he came and died for us, he stands for us. He advocates for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's given us the strength to resist our own temptations according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. When we look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 8, Galatians 5 and 16, Romans 6 and 12, chapter 8, verses 13 through 14, Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, but 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and 11, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, and Philippians 4 and 8. And I'm not going to be able to read all of those, but I'm going to hit some because I got one more topic to deal with in the time frame I have. So when we look at Galatians 5 and 16, it reads, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." 24 of that same chapter, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust." Now, we crucify. We put it under the blood. We fast and pray. We deny this flesh, and we seek to line up with scriptures. God, you know, hallelujah, God, I need your strength. When we call on the name of the Lord, he's faithful and just to hear us. Now, Romans 8, verses 13 again through 14 reads, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall have life." 14, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Hallelujah. This gets gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then we got Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, and I'm just going to hit 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." So in essence, when you look at the Spirit of God, when you look at walking upright before that, for the Lord, when you look at renewing our spirits and being led by the Spirit of the Lord, then the Spirit of the Lord also renews our mind. It comes on to make us think better. You find that in Romans 12. Hallelujah. Then you get 1 Thessalonians. But I'm going to read, if you need the scriptures again, say, Dr. Carey, I need these scriptures because I am going through them really fast because I want to get through with the topic. Hallelujah. Then we have Philippians 4 and 8. And this is one that you can put on your walls, put on your car visor, put on anything that you work on or you work at your desk, wherever you at. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And the scripture says we are to be watchful for temptations. All these. Talk about we are to be watchful for temptations and pray for strength. We are to walk in the Spirit and be led by Him to put to death the misdeeds of our body through the Spirit. We're crucifying the passions and the desires of our flesh that want to reign over us and over us in sin. And we do this through Christ by pulling off the old nature and putting on Christ, His righteous nature, and making no provision for the flesh. We exercising self-discipline by being content with what we have. We set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. We don't dwell on the temptations by meditating on things that are not true, but we meditate on things that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. And I want to say this, the Spirit of the Lord keep bringing it up out of my spirit. I'm sorry for those of you that look at everything on television. You can't do it because the spirits that are motivated, envy, greed, success, and it's okay to be successful, y'all. Dr. Carey ain't saying nothing about that because God has laid up riches for us. He's storing it up for us. We can definitely be rich and prosperous and all that good stuff. But we got to do it according to the Word of God. We got to walk upright before God. We are not trying to cut somebody down to get riches. We're not doing that. We're not trying to lie, steal, or kill to get over. We're not doing that. We're walking upright before the Lord. We're putting this flesh under subjection. We are putting it under subjection by reading the Word of God, by praying daily, by spending time in God's presence. Hallelujah. And if you don't have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, then you seek Him, because the Spirit of God won't dwell in an unclean body. It won't. So because it won't dwell in the unclean body, we've got to make up our minds to serve God. We've got to make up our minds to read the Word of God. We've got to make up in our minds to follow His righteousness. We've got to make up in our minds to read this Word daily, to have this Word playing 24/7 in our ears. And once we hear the Word of God, the Word will transform us. It will renew us. It will tell us and it will check us when we're out of order. Galatians 6 and 8 tells us that if we sow to our flesh or indulge in carnal desires, we will reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, walking in the ways of God, we will reap everlasting life. I don't know about you, but Dr. Carey wants to see the Lord. I want to see Him and Him tell me, well, that you have done a good job. Come on in, dwell with me forever. That's our course. That's what we're here to do. We are here to tell this dying world what they must do to be saved. And the Word, and I'm getting carried away, y'all. I've tried to get to the satanic attack number three with accusations and condemnation of the brethren. Satan in Revelations 12, chapter 12, verses 10, he tries to come to put us down. He says they're guilty for their sins. You need to just allow them to come away with me. He wants us to doubt our forgiveness, but I want to let you know, according to Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62, Romans 7, verses 14 through 15, and 1 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 7 verse 7, that we have been forgiven, that God came, he paid a price for us, and still, even if we messed up, we can boldly go through the throne of grace and say, God, forgive me of my sins. When we go over to the book of Matthew, when Jesus, the disciples asked, when the disciples asked God to teach us how to pray, he teaches them how to pray, and in that prayer, he talks about forgiveness. He talks about repentance, temptation. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. Forgive my sins, God. And we have to come before his throne of grace. We have to come boldly and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Every day there's a renewal of our faith, a renewal of our relationship. Whatever I've done, whatever I didn't think to do, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins because I want to walk upright before the Lord. And because God is our advocate, and he's there to forgive us. The Bible says if we confess our sins to God and receive his forgiveness, cleansing, asking others for forgiveness, hallelujah, then and lay aside every sin that does so easily ensnare us, and running with endurance the race that is set before us, then God will give us the victory. God will give us the victory, and we have an advocate. We have an advocate that's going to go before the Father and plead for us. When Satan says, look at him. You see what he did on November the 16th, 2019? He didn't do it right, or she didn't do it right. But Christ came, and he said, but that's still my child. She repented of her sins, and because she's repented of her sins, she has been adopted in the family. That's my child. And because that's my child, and because she knows to do all that she can, and she's standing on the word of God, and the word of God is moving. The word of God has changed her. The word of God has changed her mindset. Now she's looking to the hills from which cometh her help, because she knows that her help cometh from the Lord, who is able, that he's going to provide and has provided for her needs. You see a changed individual. Hallelujah. But that don't mean that we're not going to go through. That don't mean that we're not going to get spanked sometimes, because we're living in a sinful world. And Hebrews 12 and 6 talks about, for whom the Lord loveth, he spanks, he chases, he whips. Hallelujah. And we are to take it. We are to take it because there is a plan and a purpose that he has for us. Satan is trying to keep you from getting to your destiny. He want to cut you off with running into your own temptations. But God has a bigger picture for you. He has purpose and destiny for you. So because God has that for you, he's got to give you some tests, and those tests is to spank you. Those tests is to get you in line. Those tests is to get you to understand that the word of God needs to change you. You know, over in Psalms 51, David said, look, purge me with hyssop. Hallelujah. We've got to allow the Lord to cleanse us, because there's stuff on the inside of us buried deep in our unconscious that will manifest in this body, and we don't know where it come from. We see murderers. We see people that are killed, and they say, well, their background was good. I mean, they got along with people, but this happened, and they start killing people. Well, that nature, the sin nature, the nature of this flesh, there's no good thing, no good thing. So lying, murdering, stealing, killing is common in this flesh. Y'all, I got to quit. Please send me a text to say, Dr. Carey, I enjoyed you. I need a list of the scriptures you gave me, and I certainly will forward those to you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We exalt you. We praise your name. We give you the glory. We thank you, God, for everyone that is on the line today. We thank you, God, for the people that have heard and the people that will hear, Father God. I pray, God, that you're covering them with the blood, God, and I pray, God, that you'll give them something, God, that they may use to change their very mindset, their very attitude, and continue to bless them abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'll see you on next week, and we finish up with more of Satan's Attacks, Part 2. God bless. Bye-bye.